All right. Well, hands down, the number one question I hear as a pastor is this. How do I know what God wants me to do? How do I know what God wants me to do? And isn't that such an important question? How do I know what God wants me to do? In fact, what is God's will for my life? Maybe you've thought that before. What's God's will for my life? Or what is God's direction? Maybe some of you are asking this right now. What is God's direction in this moment or in this season that I'm in right now? Like, God, what do you want me to do? What am I supposed to do? What do you want me to do right now? You know, that's why today we're starting as we start a new year, we're starting a brand new series called Divine Direction, Divine Direction. And the truth is, as we look at this study, all of us needs God's direction in our life. This series is based on a brand new book that Craig Groeschel wrote called, you guessed it, Divine Direction, Seven Decisions That Will Change Your Life. And we're not going to be looking at all the seven decisions. This is kind of supplemental. You can go read that if you want to. You can get that on Amazon and other things. But what I wanted to do is to really base this series on this huge idea and this question that people ask all the time. What is God's will? How do I know it? How do I follow the direction of God? And so one of the ideas that Craig Groeschel discusses in the book is he says this. He says, the decisions we make today determines the stories we will tell tomorrow. Let me say that again. The decisions we make today determines the stories we will tell tomorrow. And the truth is, you already know this principle from your life. Think back at your life and your story and how things have gone. And I would imagine that you would say, you know, who I am today and where my life is headed is largely a result of the decisions that I've made in the past, right? Who you've become is largely a result of decisions you've made. In fact, even your small decisions, those no big deal decisions that seem like, oh, you know, this is like no big thing. All of a sudden, some of your smallest decisions have turned out to become really big. God has impacted your life in really big ways through them. For instance, that decision that one time to go to that certain place at that certain time led you if you're married, to maybe get introduced to your spouse for the very first time. You had no idea that going to that one party or that one event or meeting that one friend, no big deal, would lead to maybe meeting your spouse. Or on the other hand, sometimes that small decision that seemed like no big deal, that small decision that seemed like no big deal at a party or an event, you may look back and say, man, that was one of the, that small decision at the time ended up leading to years and years of headache in my life, and it may be one of your biggest regrets. At the same time, a lot of us can look at certain times, maybe when you took that certain job after college and it's changed the trajectory of your career. Or on the other hand, this little small decision that you made way back then although you didn't have a whole lot of money, there was a time where you just thought, you know what, I'm just going to make this conscious decision to just save a little bit every single month. And you saved a little bit and a little bit. But now, looking back, you realize, whoa, this is really paying off for me in my life big time now. See, the truth is, when it comes to our lives, the decisions that we made in the past shape who we are today. And at the same time, it works the other way as we look into the future. Who you become tomorrow and where your life goes in the future is a direct result of the decisions you make today. Today matters. And so, let's be honest, some of us are in a situation right now where we have some very big decisions that we've got to make. Some of you are in that position right now, some important decisions. And some of the big important decisions are actually small decisions we have to make that have big, big implications. For instance, if you're a student, a lot of our students are going to be going through confirmation. They've been going through confirmation, and many of them are going to be meeting with me today, and they're going to be getting confirming their faith. But for students, you may be trying to decide, like, you know, what friends and what groups and circles of friends am I supposed to be hanging out with? And for those of us who are older, we can look back and say, yep, man, those friends and those choices had huge implications for my life. At the same time, you may be trying to decide, do I do this sport or that sport? Or, you know, do I do this club or that club? And those decisions can lead to some really big things. Do I date somebody? Do I not? And should I be dating him or her? At the same time, for adults, we've got a lot of important decisions that maybe we have to make. Some of you, I know, are in seasons where you're trying to figure out some things in your career. You know, you're trying to figure out, do I go with this company or with this company? Or, you know what, I'm doing something right now. Should I go into this new opportunity, or should I kind of stay where I am? You know, it involves risk. It involves trust. For some of you, it's kind of like it's that time where you're considering buying a new car, you know, and it's like Old Yeller or whatever you call it, you know, whatever your car is called, has been ticking along for a while. And the frugal thing is to just, you know, wait a little bit and keep driving it. But it's that decision of when is the right time? Do we buy now or do we keep driving Old Yeller hoping that it continues on, right? But maybe you're a parent, and man, as a parent, we have so many decisions we make all the time. And there's momentary decisions that can change the trajectory of our kid's life. And there's things that you may be deciding about, you know, public school or private school, stuff like that. You may be deciding, you know, do we begin having kids as a family? You know, do we begin to start a family? Do we have another kid now, right? We already made that decision. We got one coming in March, so decision made. But it's one of those things, or hey, is this time to stop? Or another question that we have to wrestle with is really the pathway we want to lead when it comes to parenting. You know, it's like this question that a lot of people wrestle with is, how much do I give my kids a leash and let them run, and how much do I guide them and lead them? And so a lot of people today are kind of like, well, do I just passively parent my kids and just let them kind of drive the ship? Do I let them make the decisions and go their own way and figure things out and mess up along the way? Or do I get more actively involved in the lives of my kids and their decisions and guide them toward faith and their decisions they should be making? And the answer is yes, B, right? There's too many parents not parenting their kids, right? And it's one of those things. But this is why we need God's direction. We need God's direction. And the good news is that God is always giving direction. We got all these arrows up here. And this is how it is sometimes in our lives. We're trying to figure out, all right, where am I supposed to go? And, you know, it kind of feels like there's so many voices out there telling us to go, you know, go this way or you go this way, you know? But we need God's direction. And the good news is God spoke all throughout the scripture, and God didn't get laryngitis all of a sudden, you know? God is speaking to us today. He's speaking. And the truth is, he wants to speak to you. In fact, when we read all throughout the Bible, there's stories of God speaking to people. I remember in the Old Testament, one of my favorite examples of God speaking is not just to people. God would speak through prophets and other things. But in the Old Testament, God had this really elementary way to hear God's voice and to follow him. The people of God were wandering in the wilderness, God put this cloud in the sky and a fire. So that was during the day. And at night, he would put up this pillar of fire, which would be awesome. Like, that would be so cool to see what a pillar of fire looked like from heaven. I'd be like, wow, like, I will follow you, God, you know? But what would happen is the Israelite people, all they had to do, very elementary, when the cloud or the pillar of fire would move, the people of God would say, oh, this is where we're supposed to go. We're supposed to follow God. And when the pillar or the cloud would stop, they would know that God wants them to stop. And it was like this game of connect the dots. God didn't tell them the whole path. He just said, go walk here. And then they knew the next step and the next step. And this is one of the things where when it comes to our lives today, God is still speaking. God is still speaking. But what I've found so many different times is that we're not very good at listening. We're not very good at listening. In fact, sometimes what I found is that in our life, we're oftentimes so busy and distracted with other noise in our lives that we aren't able to really hear from God. So I got the incredible privilege to go to Tampa this week. I was in Tampa all week. It was a church conference, basically a conference about innovation. And I have to tell you, it was so cool. There were 30 people from each conference. So it was like almost a little bit over 100 leaders total that were there, 90 plus other people that were leading, of some of the brightest and best young leaders in our denomination. And I have to tell you, the future is so incredibly, I said so stinking bright, and I mean that. It is so bright for where God is leading in our church and in our denomination right now. Being around, there's a movement of the Holy Spirit that is happening that's exciting, and it's not this stuffy, archaic, institutional church that's slow to turn. There are new things that are being created all over the place. And so I got to go to this conference and was super inspired and about innovating new things and how do we adapt things to help people to better grow. And so it's kind of like, look out. We're going to be working on innovating some things and making things better. It's one of our cultures. Make it better. Make it better. But anyway, I was sitting on this plane, And y'all know I like to talk a lot, right? For those of you who go here to the fountain regularly, man, I like to talk. And I'll talk to a tree, whatever. I'll talk to anything. But anyway, I started talking to this guy next to me. And I was, like, asking him some questions about his life and wasn't really getting an answer from him. And I was like, what is wrong with this guy? So I kept asking him, hey, da-da-da. And finally, I realized the guy had these earbuds in his ear. And so I had been talking the entire time, right? I'd been communicating on this plane, probably very loudly over the, of the plane, talking very loudly. And the entire time I was talking, he didn't hear a word I said. And it was one of those awkward moments where I kind of looked around like, hopefully nobody saw me talking to essentially nobody. But this is kind of how we are in our relationship with God sometimes. God is speaking to us. God is speaking and communicating, wanting to lead us. But oftentimes we've got our earbuds in our ear. And it's one of those things where although God is speaking, we're not in a position, we're not open to really hear from him. But at the same time, some of you may be thinking, well, that's great that God speaks, but I'm kind of unclear about how God speaks. Like, I've never encountered that in my life before. I never experienced that. And so I just don't really know how that happens. And so maybe like that video you saw, maybe we kind of frantically look everywhere, for the next sign in the clouds. Maybe we shake a magic eight ball to try to figure out, is this God what you want me to do? And what I found in my life is, although God used a pillar of fire and cloud by day, and although God spoke through prophets and other things in the Bible, God typically doesn't speak in this loud, booming voice. Ron, this is what God wants you to do. That would be so awesome, wouldn't it? Or maybe it wouldn't, because maybe it'd be so clear that we have to take a step, But it's one of those things where God doesn't speak in a loud, booming voice. God speaks in a still, small voice. He puts his word on your conscience, and oftentimes it's this prompting, this nudge of the Holy Spirit that's like, you know what, I think I'm supposed to go talk to that person. I think I'm supposed to do this right now. I just feel God wants me to do it. And it's one of those things where as you listen to those promptings of God, like we're able to follow God's direction. In fact, one of the things I found is that the best way, in the scripture, one of the things that Jesus says is that he says that he is the good shepherd and that we're like his sheep. And he uses this illustration how, like a shepherd and the sheep, every sheep knows the voice of their shepherd. They can pick it out in a crowd. Like when the shepherd speaks, it's one of those things. It's like if you have pets, when you say, here, boy, or whatever your dog or cat's name or what, I don't know if cats fetch, just throw them out as animals, I don't know. But anyway, dogs, what happens is, I'm sorry for cat people, we'll pray for you. But anyway, it's one of those things where when a dog hears your voice, they turn around and a lot of times they know it's you and they have to choose to listen or not, right? And it's the same thing. The more you get to know God, the more you start to understand God's voice. The more you get to know God, the more you start to hear his direction for your life. And I want to help you with that in this series. Today is kind of the foundation. It's a foundation. And we're going to get super practical in the next several weeks. But I want us to join in today on a God conversation. On a God conversation that was going on in Exodus chapter 4. I just think that if we can look at how God spoke to other people, God might have to say something to us about how he speaks to us today. And so this was Moses. This was his burning bush moment. This was the time when God was calling Moses, reaching out to Moses, really giving him this charge. And he's saying, Moses, I'm picking you. I'm picking you to be the one. I want you to gather the brightest and best, the elders of Israel, the leaders, and I want you to go to the most powerful ruler in the land, Pharaoh, the Egyptian Pharaoh. And I want you to go right up to that leader, Pharaoh, who is imprisoning, essentially, my people, your people, are in slavery. And I want you to go, Moses, and take those leaders, and I want you to tell Pharaoh that God wants you to let his people go. And that's like, can I get an easier assignment? Because this guy could kill me, you know? There's a lot of things that could go wrong with this pitch, you know, that God is saying, you're the man. And Moses is looking at his life, and he had a track record of being not the best communicator. In fact, he had the stutter problem, and he's probably wondering, why, God, are you calling me? Can't you just pick one of the other bright elder, some other great leader that's a good communicator? But God says, no, Moses, I'm calling to you. Here is my direction for you. Now, you can choose not to go. You can choose not to do it, and you'd miss it. And you might just, my people might just stay in slavery. But my direction for you is I want to use you in this way. And so Moses is told, go gather the elders, the leaders, and I want you to tell them this plan, that this is what I want you to do. And here's what it says, Exodus chapter 4, starting with verse 1. It says this, Moses answered God, basically. He says, what if they do not believe me or listen to me and say, the Lord did not appear to you? It says, then the Lord said to him, what is that in your hand? Interesting question, isn't it? What is that in your hand? So God is asking Moses to do something so big that he would fall flat on his face if God didn't come through. Have you ever been in a place like that in your life before? It's like, God, I'm willing to trust you for some things, but this is pretty big, you know? And so he's wondering, like, God, how are these leaders in Israel? Like, I would be reluctant to follow me, you know? Like, how will they even know that you appeared to me and you shared this plan with me? And God asks Moses maybe the second most important question that you'll ever be asked in your life. And it's this question. What is in your hand? What is in your hand? Now, the most important question we could ever be asked is really, what did you do with the good news of Jesus? What did you do with the good news of Jesus? Have you accepted Jesus? Have you followed him with your life? Is he the leader of your life and the savior of your life? But this is maybe the second most important question. And let me just make it really personal, because this is not just a question God asked Moses. It's a question God asks you. What is in your hand? What has God put in your hand? You know, as we look at this, you know, it's really this question of stewardship, isn't it? You know, what are the gifts that God has given you? You know, what's in your hand? What's the personality that God has entrusted to you? What's in your hand? What are the gifts? What are the resources that God's put in your hand? The opportunities that God's put in your hand? And I just believe that as you reach out your hand and you consider that, it's so cool to realize that the God who created the sun and the moon and the stars and reaches out to every single person invites all of us to be a part of what he wants to do in the world, to look at what he's put in our hands and say, God, thank you for what you gave me, and how can I leverage it? How can I use this in some kind of way to be about a God-centered purpose? You know, I've learned in my life when God asks us a question, he already knows the answer to the question. It makes sense, doesn't it? If God asks you a question, he already knows. He already knows the answer. He's God. And so it's kind of this funny thing. Why is God asking Moses a question he already knows? In fact, one of the things I found in my life is, in my prayer life, sometimes I'll hear this, like, not audibly, but I'll hear this prompting from God. Like, hey, Andy, what is this? Why does this bother you so much in your life? Like, it's almost like a chisel, you know? God's, like, wanting to chisel things in me. Like, why did that conversation bother you so much? And it's like, let's talk about that. I'm like, no, let's not talk about that. You know, I don't want to talk about that right now. And it's like, well, let's deal with this, because I want to make you into the person I created you to be. Oftentimes, God will ask you a question of something he already knows the answer to. He asked Moses this question, and the reason he asks us questions like this is to make us aware of something or to reveal an opportunity that we don't yet see. And so God already knows what's in his hand. And so Moses looks at his hand. He looks at what's in his hand. And here's what he says, verse 2. He says, a staff. No big deal, God. It's just a staff. You know, this is my amplified version, right? It's just a staff. It's a shepherd's staff. It's a piece of wood. No big deal. And it says, the Lord said, throw it on the ground. Moses threw it on the ground, and it became a snake. And he ran from it. Of course he did, right? Here's how it continues. It says, then the Lord said to him, reach out your hand and take it by the tail. God has asked me to do some crazy things before. You know, this is one of those moments where it's like, God, I am willing to trust you and to follow you, and we won't move without you. But when God asks you to do something that doesn't make sense, God, I'm willing to trust you to a certain degree, but picking up the tail of a snake, woo, I don't know about that, right? And so here's the thing. Moses is, this is this crazy moment, this God moment that Moses encounters where God bends the laws of nature. You know, he biologically and physically and chemistry wise, he turns a wooden shepherd's staff that's a dead thing into a living snake that's slithering on the ground. And Moses is terrified, not just by the snake, but just imagine this, probably looking at that burning bush and almost like he's looking at God, like, who are you that you can take something so dead and lifeless and purposeless and you can make it alive? And it's one of these things, after Moses, he comes back from wherever he ran to, this funny scene, and God tells Moses to reach down and to pick up a live snake that's slithering on the ground. Uh-uh. No, I'm not going to do that. But this is this moment of faith, isn't it? This is this moment of faith for Moses where God is teaching Moses something here. He's teaching him, Moses, you can trust me. Wherever I lead you, you can trust me there, even there. And see, Moses is going to have to trust God for a lot bigger things as we follow the story of Moses. He's going to have to trust God in much bigger ways than even this in the future. You know, he's the one that led the people of God through a desert when they had no food and nothing, when they had no plan and nothing, all the way to the gates of the promised land. But in order for Moses to follow God's direction in the future, to become the Moses we know, Moses was going to have to learn to trust God in the present right now. And so the same is true for our life. God often directs us to take a step in our lives and to trust him in new ways today so that he can grow us and use us. He can grow us and use us in much bigger ways in the future. Here's how it continues, verse 4, the end of verse 4. It says, So Moses reached out and took hold of the snake, and it turned back into a staff in his hand. This, said the Lord, is so that they may believe that the Lord, the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has appeared to you. Amazing. You know, the two things that I want to point out about following God's direction, two ideas that we can extract from this about following God's direction. Number one is this, what we can learn, is that following God's direction requires taking our next faithful step with God. Following God's direction requires taking our next faithful step with God. You know, just like us, Moses didn't know the whole plan. He didn't have a map of how every single decision and how everything was going to turn out in his story. That if he followed God, here's what would happen. And if he didn't, here's what would happen. And it's all that he knew was, this is the next faithful step that God wants me to do. That's all he knew. And I think this is a great lesson for us and what it means to follow God. Because it's one of those things where God doesn't usually give us the full completed picture of the way our life is going to turn out. In every situation, that if you take this job or if you do this thing, that this is how it's going to go. He doesn't usually tell us that before we take a step. Instead, if you think of your life, I think it's more like a game of connect the dots. You remember playing connect the dots when you were little? Now, as an adult, I go to a restaurant and I can like look at it. When my kids are going to do it, and I'm like, yeah, it's a dog. You know, I know what it's going to be. But it was an adventure, wasn't it, when you were a kid playing connect the dots? Like, all you knew is you got to find one, and you start at one, and the next thing you do is you got to find number two, and you take your next faithful step to number two, and then you don't know where to go from there, so you go to number three, and it's one by one by one. This is what it looks like to follow the direction of God. What does God want me to do? He wants you to play connect the dots. God wants you to take your next faithful step today. And then, God, what do you want me to do now? Then they take your next faithful step to number two and to number three. This is what it means to follow God. God wants us to walk forward and to trust him. And our job is to trust God enough to take our next faithful step. So let me ask you this question. What is the next faithful step that God wants you to take right now in your life and in your faith? I don't know what it is. It may be something super small, but a new decision, a new commitment that you're going to take. What is your next faithful step in your faith and your life? You know, Moses trusted God's direction. He trusted God's plan. He trusted God at his word, and he obeyed God. He reached out, and he took hold of a snake, and it turned back into a staff in his hand. And here's the cool thing. The staff represented a few things for Moses. If you think about it, it was more than just wood and, you know, kind of looks like a candy cane, if you will. But a staff for him represented his income. It represented his income. If you think about it, in that time, the more animals you had, the more wealth you had. And so his shepherd's staff was literally like a way that he was able to, you know, leverage his income, you know, his animals. It also represented, the second thing is his identity. This was who Moses was. He wasn't the Moses we know. This was in his 40 years of obscurity. I love that God, this is how God works in your life. Maybe you're looking around right now and you're saying, why, like, God, when is my time? Like, I feel like I'm just living this life of obscurity. And when is the time when you're going to pick me to use me in a big way? Moses had to spend 40 years in obscurity, getting shaped and molded into the person God wanted him to be. And had he not gone through those 40 years of obscurity where God was forming him and shaping him, he never would have been prepared with his character to receive and to walk into the new thing God had for him. Hope that's encouraging for you. So it's his income, it's his identity, but the third thing is it was his influence. The staff was his influence. It represented, you know, he was influential to the people he was around, certainly less influential than when he was in the palace, but it was his sphere of influence. And so God essentially says, let's put it in our context, not put down your staff. God essentially says to him and says to us, I want you to take your income, I want you to take your influence, and I want you to take your identity, and I want you to throw it down. I want you to lay it aside. Now you see why this is a big, bold step. But God, you know, this is what I've always trusted in. But God, this is where I've always drawn my strength from. And when he lays down all that down for God, God makes it become something living. In fact, so alive that it's scary to Moses. But check this out. When Moses picks it back up, when he puts it back in his hand, in his own control, it loses its life. You know, it becomes this dead staff again. And so the second thing I want you to know about following God and his direction is this. Number two. Is that following God's direction always involves surrender. Following God's direction always involves surrender. In fact, it involves throwing some things down in our lives so that God can make them alive, so that God can make them living. And this is like this light bulb moment for Moses, because Moses discovered that God's direction is something that I can really trust. That even if God calls me to do something so stupid as picking up the end of a snake, I can trust God. I can trust where God is leading me. And I tell you about this surrender thing because if you really want to hear from God, if you really want to hear God's direction and what God really wants you to do, it almost always requires that surrender. You know this as a parent. When I was a youth pastor, I would have teenagers that would come into my office and they would say, you know, what am I supposed to do in this situation? Here's what's going on. There's this girl. There's this guy. There's this situation. And I would tell them some advice, and then I could suspect really quickly that you didn't really come for advice, did you? You were wanting me to affirm what you wanted to hear. And this is how it is so many times in our lives. We want God to affirm where we want to go. But if we're really following God, it means surrendering that. What's in your hand? Surrendering that. See, the best thing that you can do, when you do that, God will often take it and use it, what's in your hand, and he'll make it come alive. In fact, you will always hear God best when you have a heart of openness and a heart of surrender. Here's what Craig Groeschel once said, what he said in his book. He said that if you'll open your heart, God will gently lead you step by step, decision by decision, perhaps not to the life you've always wanted, but to the life God has always wanted for you. God has dreams for your life. And over the next few weeks, we're going to get really practical about what this means. But really, the goal of the series is more than just how to guide you through decision making. That's fine, right? Oftentimes, we focus so much on what God wants us to do. The what and the do. What does God want me to do? But here's the thing I want you to consider today. It's this bottom line. It's this. It's that instead of focusing on what God wants you to do, start by focusing on who God wants you to become. Instead of focusing on what and the do, start by focusing on who God wants you to become. The truth is, God wants you to become more like Jesus, right? He wants you to become more like Jesus in the way you love, in the way you live, in the way you serve, in the way you give, in the way you influence people around you. God wants you to be more like Jesus and to leverage what he's put in your hand for the sake of Jesus. And so God's direction is really more about getting your character and getting your life in alignment with where God is and where God is wanting to go and his purposes. And the best decision you'll ever make is to follow and to serve Jesus. But oftentimes we think of that as a momentary one-time decision. In fact, many of you have some dramatic stories of when you got baptized, or maybe when you said yes to Jesus for the very first time and you prayed a prayer at an altar, and that is awesome, and that is following Jesus. But that was step one. What it means to really follow Jesus, I want you to think more of it as a continuous daily decision, that in every moment and in every season, in every situation, what does God want me to do? Choosing to make those deliberate, godly decisions to align our life to God and his purposes. For instance, it could be things like a small decision, a new decision, to maybe, you know what, every single day I'm going to get up, maybe 10 minutes early, maybe I'll stay up a little later. Every day I'm going to read, I'm going to get into God's word so that I can spend time with God. I'm going to carve 10 minutes out of my day to get in God's word and to pray to, so that I can hear God speak and so I can know God. It could be this very simple continuous decision to bring your family, to bring your kids, and to bring yourself to church so that you can be around a community of people who are growing in their faith and so that you can have a family that's growing up knowing God's love for them. Maybe it's this constant decision where you find a regular opportunity to serve God, to serve people, and maybe even to find a way to show God's love to people around you. Another great way to find God's direction is through the context of community. God doesn't just speak in isolation. God speaks in the context of community. In fact, Mandy shared an awesome way that you can do this. It's a pathway. We talked about groups, refresh groups. And there's no magic that happens in groups, but we just have seen over and over and over the importance of doing life and faith together. That over time, you show up one time and it feels like just conversation and food and a little Bible, right? But over time, you start to realize, whoa, God is really shaping me through this group, and this is becoming my family and my community. In fact, if you're in a group, praise God. We're going to be going for 4 weeks on this, looking at some principles from divine direction, and I think it's going to really, really, really help you. And if you're not in a group, just like Mandy said, for the next 4 weeks, I want to encourage you to just make that decision for 4 weeks. To give 4 weeks and to get plugged into a group, to give it a try for 4 weeks. And if you're looking at the list and you're like, I don't even know what group, I don't have a group that fits my schedule. Okay, great, let's shift the system, great. Are you willing to open your home for some people? What you can do is you can gather some friends from your neighborhood, even people who don't go to church, and we'll give you the curriculum and everything you need in order to do it right where you are. So just let us know, we'll do that. But I wanna encourage you to do that. See, oftentimes we don't realize that a bunch of seemingly small daily decisions to follow Jesus have a cumulative effect. So let me ask you this question. What's in your hand? What's in your hand? And what is your next faithful step that God wants you to take in your life and in your faith? Let's do it. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for your word, and thank you for giving us these crazy examples of people who had to trust you in super big ways. But God, I also thank you for the many, many, many times that you call us to trust you in daily small things. And God, I just pray for those daily decisions that you're going to put in our path, not to God is your will for my life and these big things. But God, I just pray for each and every momentary decision that we would consider, what would Jesus do? What would a follower of Jesus do? And how can I become that? God, I pray that as we consider that, as we think about your direction for our life, I pray in the next few weeks that you would start to clear out, you would help us to clear out space so that we can better hear from you, that we'd get alone with you so that we can hear from you. But God, that you would put us in a, you would put us in pathways so that we can take bold steps, our next faithful step with you. So God, I just pray over each and every, I don't know what all the decisions people need to make in here. I don't know what next faithful step, but God, you do, and your Holy Spirit does. And I pray that you would lead us and give us the courage and the faith to trust you to take our next faithful step. We ask this in your name. Amen. Amen.